Let us pray. Gracious Master, we come before you this morning. And as we listen to your word, help us to be receptive to your word, to obey your word, and to move forward, loving Father, with your grace. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The theme for today is manifestation in Christ's baptism. Jesus began his ministry with his baptism. We may ask the question, why was Jesus baptized? He was a sinless person. He was completely fully human and he was fully divine. But Jesus needed to identify with all sinners. So he goes to John the Baptist and says, you baptize me. And John the Baptist is asking Jesus, why are you coming to me for baptism? You need to baptize me. And he says, no, it has to happen that way. He says, please baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. When he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this is one of those occasions where you find the Trinity emerging. God the Father's voice, we find the Holy Spirit coming like a dove, and it was also the Son who was being baptized. He stepped out of water and began his ministry. The symbolic meaning of baptism is that we are dead to sin and rise again to righteousness. One of the key verses and one of the verses that I really love in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone being Christ is a new creation, the old has gone and the new has come. We find that we are all in the old age, old habits, old attitudes. But when you find that Christ comes into our life, it becomes a new life that blossoms in our lives, and you find that you become a witness. So we find that we are not people who are absent without Christ. Why do we need to be baptized? Is there any way in which you can continue your membership without baptism? First of all, we are baptized because Jesus demonstrated it in his own life. Secondly, Jesus commissioned it. It is in the great commission of Jesus. When we turn to St. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go into the world and be your witness and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The second time that you find Trinity emerging in the Bible. Thirdly, baptism is a public statement. Fourthly, the belief is a net result of baptism. Fifth, we are incorporated into the church through baptism. That is why you find that in the Anglican churches, always the font where you are baptized is always near the main door. We could have brought the font right up here and then baptized people. No. We all have a system in our own Anglican churches and a tradition. Always you enter an Anglican church, near the main door is a font. Of course, if you are going to do immersion baptism, it has to be by immersion. May not be, everybody don't have an immersion baptism font. But nevertheless, that's the first step to a baptism. Jesus was baptized at the age of 30. Why is it people ask the question, if Jesus was baptized at the age of 30, why are we doing infant baptisms? I'm sure all of you must be asking the question within yourselves. I was baptized when I was an infant. Maybe I was about 2 months old. All of us. I would say that the majority of us were baptized when we were infants. When I refer to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 15, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 33, 1 Corinthians 1:16, we find the entire household was baptized. Entire household, they became followers and they were baptized. This is my reference, my biblical reference, to say that infant baptism is an authenticity in accepted, time. We find that when we bring little children to for baptism, there are sponsors, there are godparents. The godparents take the vows on behalf of the child in baptism. When the child comes to an age of 13 or 14 or whatever, the child takes the same vows before the bishop for confirmation. So there is a connection, a very clear connection between baptism and confirmation. There are certain people who like to get baptized, but when it comes to confirmation, they will say, no, I'll wait for some time and see. Now that waiting for time and some time and see will never happen. It is far better to get baptized and confirmed and you become a full member of the Anglican Communion. Jesus was a Jew. That was a Jewish custom. Today we find that in the Baptist church, they normally don't do infant baptisms. They do the believer's baptism. I know that there are certain Anglicans who say, I don't want my child baptized as an infant. I would like the child to make the decision when the child grows. So I would like to dedicate the child. Few people, very rarely, do this dedication. Now when it comes to school admissions, you need to submit your baptism certificate. So there was a time I know that in the previous bishops, we had a difficulty where the Baptists used to give their believer's baptism or maybe the dedication certificate. And it was accepted at that time. But I would always prefer to always adhere and follow the infant baptism. Some Anglicans dedicate their children and allow the children to make their own decisions. Sometimes they may make decisions or sometimes they might postpone. Secondly, baptism is always done in the name of Trinity. We find that the Great Commission of Jesus is an authenticity to this fact. The Great Commission of Jesus. Thirdly, baptism is an outward symbol of an inward and spiritual grace. That's very important. It's an outward symbol of an inward and spiritual grace. Fourthly, Anglican believes in one baptism. When you read the faith, the apostles' faith, or maybe the creed, when you say the creed, you say at the end of it, I believe in one baptism. And that's a discipline that the church has always followed. When I was vicar of the cathedral, a few years ago when I was archdeacon, there was a young man who used to always come and tell me, Father, believe it, I tell you, I was baptized when I was an infant. I can't remember it. I want to experience it, so please baptize me. I need the baptism. Please baptize me. I explained to him that it cannot be done because we always believe in some discipline in the church. And the discipline is that you believe in one baptism. So, but he was pestering me, going on and on and on, and said, no, I will accept what you say, but at the same time, I need that experience. So I told him, okay, you come on this particular Sunday to church, and after the service, I will tell you what to do. There was an immersion pond near the cathedral, near the door. I got it filled. Had I baptized him, I would have been out of the ministry. Definitely, there's no doubt about that. So what he did was, he stood at one end of the steps, I stood at the other end of the steps, and then I told him, I'm not baptizing you. You go down, take a good ducking and come from the other side, and I will have a prayer with you. So he went, dipped himself, came out. I said, you're happy? Yes, I'm happy. I said a prayer for him. I have not baptized him. He baptized himself. My second experience is when I was archdeacon, there was a gentleman in one of the churches, a good leader, good Anglican leader, who went to Holy Land and he has second baptism. So the vicar informed me, Father, this man is a very good leader, but he has had second baptism and it is against the discipline of the church. So I called him one day and I said, you know, you have done one of the most gravest accusations that comes against you, the second baptism. We believe in one baptism. So I told him, did you get second baptism in Holy Land? He said, yes. Who baptized you? A pastor told me, you can have another baptism. So he ducked me and took me out. I said, is it that you knew about the rule, or is it that you were ignorant about the rule and you came for baptism? Were you aware? He said, yes, I was aware. I said, if that is so, I need to see that I take the next step for you. Remember, you can come and worship, but there is no membership for you in the Anglican Church. Your electoral roll, your name may be crossed off. If you said that I didn't know about it, Father, I was ignorant about it, that's another way of looking at it. But you admit to me, I knew it, but I needed it, and I had it. There's no way out. Constitution is very clear. The Constitution and the Bible are two things that clergy always take vows that we will uphold the Constitution, we will uphold the Bible. I was very sad. I knew that he was a very good worker, but I just had to cross off his name from the electoral roll. I know there was a clergyman who got involved in this some years ago when I was a young clergyman. He had second baptism, and I know it was Bishop Cyril who called him and said, am I to sack you, or are you going out of the fold, out of the ministry? He said, I prefer to go out of the ministry. He went to another country. He faced a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. And then he wrote to Bishop Cyril and said, can I come and confess to you, and can I come back again? He's still among the living. He came back again. His license that was cancelled was given again. And he came back again. He's still serving. We find that we are ignorant, that's a different thing. We all need to understand the discipline of the church has to be followed. We all need to follow it. Clergy, archdeacons, even people, we all need to follow some discipline. If there's no discipline, we go all lower, and there's absolutely no way in which we can continue the teachings and the procedures that we do in the church. So I hope and pray that Jesus' baptism was a different baptism, because he came there to begin his baptism. Sinless person receiving baptism, committing himself to a ministry that God wanted him to do. So I hope and pray that all of us will take our baptism seriously. Anyone who wants to go to Holy Land, you're free to go to Holy Land, no problem. But at the same time, be conscious of what you do. I have had my infant baptism, and I was not baptized by a clergyman. I was baptized by a lay worker. In a Moratuwa church, there was no clergyman at that time. So a lay worker baptized me, and I still have his signature there. Remember, baptism is done by a clergyman. Even a deacon can do a baptism. But in an extreme situation, a lay person can baptize you. That's an extreme situation. But normally, it is a clergyman or a deacon who has to baptize. We always find that there are certain rules that we need to follow in our church. Our church has a long heritage, and we need to realize that whatever we do it so that we are poor and value the principles of the Anglican Church till death us do part. God bless you.